For a historian, can anything be more exciting than making and then confirming a discovery? Take what happened when my next guest, Juan Salas, uncovered a long-lost movie by the acclaimed still photographer Henri Corrière-Bresson. The 18-minute silent is called With the Abraham Lincoln Brigade in Spain. Mr. Salas, who's a documentarian and curator of photography as well as an art historian, joins me now to talk about this remarkable feat, along with Gene Hauck, the executive director of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gene, before we get to how Juan came upon this remarkable find, can you set the scene for us and fill us in on the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and what they were doing in Spain?
Absolutely. The Abraham Lincoln Brigade were the 3,000 young men who volunteered to fight in the Spanish Civil War from 1936 to 38.
Did they go right from the start?
They went right from the start. What was happening is the Spanish democratically elected government was a Republican government of Spain, and General Franco challenged them with a military coup, and there was a civil war in Spain. And most of the countries, as you know, were isolationist at the time. They did not want to get involved with what was going on in Europe over here in the United States. And 35,000 men from 50 different nations joined the International Brigade. They volunteered.
But the Abraham Lincoln Brigade was the American contingent.
Exactly. And there were 3,000 of them, and they called themselves the Abraham Lincoln Brigade.
Now, Juan, Franco enlisted journalists to document his side of the story. Who was documenting for the rebels?
Mostly themselves. There are cases of photographers working from Burgos, the temporary capital of the new regime, very early on. And they were basically faking photographs. And it's been proven that they were basically staging different scenes with the same actors dying multiple times. And in general, otherwise, in terms of written documentation, for example, the New York Times had a correspondent that was sympathetic to Franco, and who would cover from Burgos, and another journalist that would be more favorable to the Republic and would cover the other side.
But there are also people like Ernest Hemingway, who wound up writing a famous book about the fight against Franco, the loyalists, the Dutch documentarian Joris Ivens. But Corrière-Bresson, was he already famous in France at this time?
Not in France. Actually, it was better known probably in the States. He always said that it was famous thanks to the Americans, who actually exhibited his work very early on.
Is that why he winds up filming the American group rather than the French group?
I would think so. The fact that he went to New York to study documentary filmmaking with Paul Strand in 1935.
That must have been amazing, two of the greatest photographers that ever lived working together.
Absolutely, yeah. It was Paul Strand was actually part of a group that was called Night Kino, New York Kino, that shows the strong influence of the Soviet cinema at the time. And Cartier-Bresson was moving around this group and learning from them and taking pictures at the same time.
Well, they were both, Strand was a great still photographer. Bresson was a great still photographer. Did they all want to make movies?
I think so. I think that, as you know, Lenin said that film was the new medium of the revolution, and they believed it. And that's what they wanted to do.
So all of them also were on the left.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I would assume most of the people who joined the Abraham Lincoln Brigade were to varying degrees on the left. I know some years ago when there were a lot more survivors than there are today, I did a radio show, and they immediately got into a fight over politics. And there were a couple of unrepentant Stalinists, and then there were people who had been critical of what the Soviets were doing from the start, and they got into a big political debate.
Most of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade were definitely to the left of center, but there was a lot of range in their ideological thinking at the time. And one of the things that's interesting is in order to go to Spain, they had to sneak over to Europe, and the people organizing that was the Communist Party. So a lot of people were definitely communists, socialists, a lot of labor people, a lot of union people, a lot of writers and artists joined the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. And they, but it was the Communist Party that was organizing them to go. And then they often went to France posing as tourists and had to sneak over into Spain.
And how many survived today?
Today we are at the count of 22 that we are sure and are still in touch with. There were 3,000. A third of them died in Spain. And there, the ones that survived came back to New York often and to other parts of the country. And they were from all over the nation. So there's 22 now. So we're at this crucial moment. Where the living memory really is passing on. This weekend we have our annual reunion. It's the 74th reunion of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade at the Museo del Barrio on Sunday at 4:30. And so we have what is really might be the last time we're able to have a brigader with us that day, and it will be Maddie Matson.
Juan Carrier-Presson originally was seen as a kind of a surrealist photographer, and he was convinced to become a photojournalist by Robert Capa. At least that's what I've heard. Was Capa also making movies?
He actually was. to go back first to the surviving volunteers, my research was based on the photographs that were taken by a photo unit that the Abraham Lincoln Brigade created in Spain at the time. And one of the surviving volunteers is Harry Randall, the head of the photo unit. And it was thanks to him that we have 2,000 photographs from the period that he brought back from Spain in late 38. And that were the base of my research. And that's where I found a picture of Cartier-Bresson shooting this movie.
Now, the photographs weren't taken by Cartier-Bresson.
No. The photographs were taken by American photographers working to document the everyday life of the brigade.
So you saw, you found this photograph, and there's Cartier-Bresson shooting a movie. And what is that? How does that lead you to find the movie?
The idea is that I found this series of photographs where there were two French photographers and Herbert Klein, who was the former editor of the journal New Theater in New York. And he'd previously made a movie, Heart of Spain, to document the transfusion unit that Dr. Bethune had in Spain. And because of that, it was proposed by his friends Paul Strand and Leo Hurwitz to shoot with Cartier-Bresson a second movie. And that's why they were there at the time, photographed by the photo unit, with another cameraman that was a friend of Cartier-Bresson, Jacques Lemar, who was part of this cooperative of revolutionary artists in Paris.
No, Cartier-Bresson was shooting a film called Return to Life at
the
time.
That's right. They shot it simultaneously. What I've been able to find is that both the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and the doctors and nurses from the States that were working in Spain during the war were very conscious that they were making history and they wanted to document it. So there was an enormous amount of cameras going around. So everybody took pictures of what was going on while working. And I managed to find pictures taken by doctors when Herbert Klein and Cartier-Bresson and Jacques Lemar visited one of the international hospitals near Madrid while shooting Return to Life. And the difference with the other pictures that I'd found was that there are no sequences in Return to Life that show the actual international brigades at work in the front. So by looking at the bibliography, I realized that there was this second movie that had been shot at the same time that was considered as lost.
Has Return to Life been preserved?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. The MoMA has a copy, and I think it was screened at the beginning of this exhibition that they opened in April.
So we have this other film with the Abraham Lincoln Brigade in Spain. Where was it shown? What was the intention of making this 18-minute film?
The idea was to create a propaganda film. To ask for money to bring back wounded and prisoner soldiers from the French border. And therefore, it was specifically targeting an American audience. And
as a fundraiser.
As a fundraiser. And it was premiered at the Cameo Theater, like most leftist movies at the time, on the 21st of May, 1938, so pretty late. And after that, it was transferred. Originally, it was shot in 35 millimeters, but it was transferred to 60 millimeters, which was a format that was more easily diffused and disseminated in smaller venues like union halls and clubs.
And do we know where the 35 millimeter original negative or the first prints are?
No, we don't. And it would be great to. I'm sure it's gonna resurface at some point. Now that people know that this is a possibility, I'm sure it could be found.
Was it an effective fundraiser? Did it work?
Yeah, they were extremely active, and the Friends of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade was created very soon after the beginning of the war, and they actually managed to raise a lot of money, and it was actually sent to Spain in the form of ambulances and clothing and tobacco, etc.
My guests are Juan Salas, who discovered the Henri Corrière-Bresson film with the Abraham Lincoln Brigade in Spain. He's a film scholar, documentarian, curator of photography, and art historian, and co-author of Facing Fascism. Jean Houck is here. She's executive director of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. And as she said earlier, the brigade will be having their 74th Volunteers for Liberty reunion program and reception this Sunday, the 2nd at 4:30 at the Museo del Barrio at 5th Avenue at 104th Street. Now, I would have assumed, Jean, that this film would be in the archives.
This film was in the archives, and it's actually clips of it had shown up with a wonderful documentary called The Good Fight, which is the classic film on the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. And it was made in 1984, so there's short clips of the film. What's incredible is we did not know the filmmaker. We knew about the film, and it was really this sort of modern-day history detective story of Juan Salas discovering and making the connection between the photographs and the film.
So, Juan, you saw these photographs of Corrière-Bresson shooting the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. That meant you went to the archives, or did you look in other places as well?
I actually had the movie at home, strangely enough. There was a copy of this footage that we all thought had been made by the photo unit, because Harry Randall, the head of the photo unit, had a 60 millimeters camera as well, and he shot very interesting footage. So people assume it was part of that. But since it was edited and it had a title, it had an end, although it wasn't credited to anybody, it had to be something else. So by reading about Cartier-Bresson, I realized that this could be it. And I went into the archives, and actually is when the process of the restoration started.
Well, he had a very, very distinctive style as a photographer. Anyone who goes to the Museum of Modern Art now and sees that show will just be amazed at what an incredible eye he had. Does that carry over into his filmmaking?
I do think so. I think, for me, the movie is interesting on many levels, but in terms of Cartier-Bresson's own evolution, I think one can trace his surrealist influences into the movie. I think it was especially interested in what Buñuel had done in Land Without Bread, his documentary about Spain. And that was actually shot by Elie Lothar, a friend of Cartier-Bresson's in Paris. And the text that Land Without Bread uses is written by Pierre Unique, who Cartier-Bresson asked to write text for Return to Life. So there were this mixing of influences, and there was a group that were sharing techniques.
Well, it's one thing to have suspicions that this is made by Cartier-Bresson. How did you go about substantiating that?
It was basically a work of going back and forth between the images that were in the archive, the photographs that were in the archive, and the sequences. And at some point, I could match what actually Jacques Lemaire was shooting from one standpoint and the sequence that appears, one of the sequences that appears in the movie. I think there's a photograph that it will be up on your website today, mm-hmm. that shows Cartier-Bresson in that precise moment when one can see all the soldiers being in parade, And that is actually something that was photographed by the photo unit. So,
I understand that you made another discovery in connection with the film, one that involves the copper suitcase. Can you explain?
That's right. It happened by sheer serendipity, really. I was contacted by the ICP to write a text for the catalog of the upcoming exhibit in September. And they were extremely generous, and they showed me all the images of the suitcase. And at some point, I saw this old man with a clenched fist saluting to the camera, and I realized I'd already seen him. So I went back to the movie, and I realized that footage had been used by Cartier-Bresson to put his intertitles at the beginning and at the end of the movie. So what I realized is that either Kappa or Gerda Taro, his girlfriend, had been shooting this footage while taking pictures. And I was able to trace this collaboration of Cartier-Bresson and Kappa back to 37.
Have you shown the film to Martine Frank, Cartier-Bresson's widow?
Yes, I have, and she was extremely interested. She saw the movie in the winter of 2008-2009, and she told me that it was actually, for her, it was more interesting than Return to Life, because you can see that the cameramen actually are shooting with much more freedom.
And had he talked to her about that film?
No.
Or about his filmmaking activities in general? Because he kind of abandoned them not long after he made these movies, didn't he?
Yeah, he actually felt quite frustrated about filmmaking in general because he saw it as a very slow process. And he realized that by the time you edit a movie, when it's about events that are happening at the time, currently, you're missing your target.
And he, as a photojournalist, loved that immediacy. You send the negatives into Life magazine or some other magazine, Paris Match, and the next week it's on the newsstands. I was surprised that it wasn't included in this major exhibit of Cartier-Bresson's work at the Museum of Modern Art. Was it offered to them, Jean?
I think, Juan, you've talked to them, and they. It's something that might have been offered too late for them to put in.
Yeah. We've been in touch, and for one reason or another, they didn't find the place for it. But what is a bit of a missed opportunity is the fact that since the exhibit is oriented towards showing a Cartier-Bresson that is more committed to reality that originally we look at, I think this particular work and in general his work in commitment to the Republic is a very good example of his political stance, and that probably is one of the reasons why he doesn't show up at the same time in the exhibit, because he might be too political.
Although that is one of the interesting aspects of his life. Many of the others who were equally political suffered later. Cartier-Bresson remained a celebrity in the United States and was a favorite of magazines like Life throughout all those years that McCarthyism was destroying other people's careers.
It is the same case with Kappa, I think. They were above that Red Scare. I think their work was too valuable to be censored.
What will happen to the film now? Will we have a chance to see it?
It's at the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives, which is located at Tamamint. 30 years ago, the veterans founded the ALBA, which has created this archives and put it at Tamamint.
So Abraham Lincoln Brigade's archives.
Yeah. And so we are an educational organization that was founded 30 years ago by the veterans themselves, and we found a great home at Tamamint Library, which is, as you know, is a labor library, so that you can see it and go there and see it. And we have plans to find a way to package it in some way for just people to have access to it and who don't live here and can't go to the archives. We'd love to make a DVD of it and have some wonderful material around it.
And Juan, you mentioned that we'll have some still photographs posted on our show page at WNYC.org. I understand we'll also have a clip from the film.
Yeah.
And has it been restored to the point where it has that kind of crispness we associate with Cartier-Bresson's photography?
The problem with the restoration is that it was done from a 60 millimeter copy, and that was several generations old. So you won't see that crispness of the lenses that were.
So we can only hope that one of the 35 millimeter copies, or maybe the original, pops up sometime.
Yeah, that would be.
It is a beautiful restoration with what they had to work with.
Absolutely.
I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us. Juan Salas, who discovered the Henri Cartier-Bresson film with the Abraham Lincoln Brigade in Spain, and Gene Houck, who's executive director of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.